Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm so excited for this show today. You know, I always say that, but this one I've really, really been looking forward to. I have several guests on. So we're gonna get started with the first guest. And I have to tell you, you know, I love being on the internet. You know, look for me, Pat Sloan. I love being on the internet, love being there chatting with people. And I'm on Facebook. You know, all American Patchwork and Quilting has a Facebook page. You should get on there. And anyways, while I'm on there, I'm chatting with all kinds of people, and I meet, through, you know, talking about quilts, Bill Volkenning. And he's got a link, you know, his little thing is Willy Wonky Quilts. And so, you know, I'm over there looking at his blog, just going totally nuts, because Bill loves New York beauty quilts, antique quilts. And I just, you know, that's my favorite quilt of all time. So, of course, we get talking, and then I find out, you know, he is a quilt collector, and he has an exhibit going on, and one thing leads to the next, and Bill sends me his book, Beauty Secrets, 150 Years of History in One Quilt Pattern, which is the New York Beauty. Yay! So I said to Bill, you have to come in and talk about this on the radio show, because, you know, if I love it, I know a lot of other people do. So Bill, of course, said yes, and he is here now with me. How are you, Bill?
Good. How are you, Pat? Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, I am so excited. We had such great talk on the emails the other day. That was so much fun.
Yes, it was. Yeah, I love chatting, but it's even nicer to talk in person.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you know, tell me a little bit first, because you are primarily a collector. So how did you decide to collect quilts?
Well, it's funny. People look at me, and I'm rather an unlikely person to be involved with quilts at all. I really stick out in the crowd. But I grew up loving art and antiques. My mom and dad always had antiques around.
Yeah, you stand in the crowd because you're a tall man, right?
I'm a tall man. I'm usually a bit younger than a lot of the folks that are involved with quilt history and antique quilts. So I'm hanging around with a lot of moms and grandmom types, and I'm usually the only man there.
Oh. So go on, I interrupted your story. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No, I was living in New York City and going to grad school at NYU, and I was dating a young lady from Germany who was in New York studying with a Fulbright grant, and she had an invitation to a private showing of quilts. And she dragged me along. We went, and I didn't realize it who I was going to meet, but it turned out to be Shelley Zegart, who was a renowned figure in the world of quilts. And one thing led to another, and I bought my first quilt, which was a New York Beauty. And I found out later that it was really probably called something else, because New York Beauty, the name New York Beauty, was really coined around 1930 when Mountain Mist released that pattern. But I bought this beautiful 1850s quilt, and it was kind of expensive, so I hid it from my mother for about 4 years until she discovered it one day.
Was it a top or a full quilt that you bought?
It was a full quilt. It was right around 1850, red, white, and green quilt, very densely quilted, gorgeous, beautiful points, wonderful fine quilt, and it just stood out to me that day. My girlfriend Uli bought a quilt too. She bought an indigo and white drunkard's path, and we laughed about that because we like to go to the bar and drink and play darts.
So yeah, one for each of you. So what happened then? I mean, you had one quilt now. You know what? You know, you need more than one to collect. So had you already been collecting things, and this is just was a new thing to collect?
Well, I guess I was collecting at a young age. I was collecting things like Wacky Pack stickers. There were like baseball cards that had product spoofs. And I collected rocks because my grandfather used to come back from the West with rock samples and things. So I guess I've always kind of been a collector. But the quilt was sort of a new thing. I was studying art and photography at the time. And photography was one of those things that was not covered in art history quite as much as other things, and I found that the American patchwork quilt was very much the same. It was acknowledged maybe as a decorative or folk art, but not as a fine art, and as soon as I saw them, I kind of believed that they were also fine art.
Oh, they're amazing. I mean, your collection is totally amazing. I'm on your blog right now. Your blog is willywonkyquilts.blogspot.com. So, you know, how did you come up with that name, Willy Wonky?
Well, Willy is my quilting alter ego. Willy can barely thread a needle, but absolutely adores quilts. That would be me. I'm not very dexterous. I remember Julie Silver was on your show a while back, and she said the same thing. Mm-hmm. I think we're very much of the same mindset and probably the same skill level when it comes to needle and thread.
Well, on you told me the background of your website is your quilt that you did make. You made a jeans quilt.
Mm-hmm.
And did you like doing that?
Well, it's a denim top, actually, and it is the background for my Wonky World blog, and it's also my Facebook profile picture, and it was a real struggle. I have a Singer featherweight, and I basically forced this thing through the machine one day. I had old scraps of denim laying around from jeans that didn't fit anymore, and, you know, it was like, get it through the machine. It was not very graceful. I put it away for years and rediscovered it. About a year or two ago, and I thought, well, not so bad. I wanted to do it in the G's Ben style because I'd seen the exhibit at the Whitney, and I thought I'd never actually own a G's Ben quilt. Prices had been driven up by the folk art market. And, but last year, I actually found a Lucy Mingo quilt on eBay, and I got it for $51.
Oh, my gosh. So that is like a steal.
Amazing. It was a steal. It was interesting because on the back it was signed Polly Raymond, which is one of her seven daughters and one of her 10 children. Apparently, some of the quilters in G's Bend would sign other names on the quilt so that they wouldn't be tracked back to them and they wouldn't get taxed on them or whatever. They were selling them for $50 by the side of the road.
Did you meet her then after you bought it?
Yeah, she was in Sisters this summer, and I was there as a speaker, and G's Ben quilters were there. There were seven ladies, and Matt Arnett was there. Lucy was there, and Lucy was signing it. I happened to be talking to Matt at the time, and I didn't realize it, but Lucy was waving everybody over to sign the back of the quilt. So I now have seven, including Polly Raymond, I have eight names on the back of this quilt, which is fabulous.
Oh, my gosh. Did you take pictures and everything?
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, cool. Well, let's talk about your exhibit, because your book is self-published, which I think is just amazing. And then you is this your first exhibit of your antique quilts that's going on right now?
Yes, it is. And, you know, I collected very much in a vacuum for the last 20 years. For the first 20 years, I've been doing it for about 22 years now, with very limited interaction with the quilt community. And most of my quilts were found online, so I wasn't even meeting dealers face-to-face. I've been buying from people like Julie for the last 10 years and still haven't met her. And along the way, I joined AQSG and the American Quilt Study Group. This exhibit is a big deal for me because the quilts haven't gotten out there, and it's interesting how the whole thing came to be. We had a quilt study group meeting at the Benton County Museum one day, and there was a lovely lady at the door greeting all the people who were coming in, and I was there with all the moms and grandma types. I called them the quilt ladies. And Irene stopped me at the door and said, "Are you with the group? Can I help you?" Yeah. You know, I think I sort of stood out like I didn't belong there. So later in the day, we were in the repository looking at quilts from their collection, and there were two tables, and we were supposed to sit at one. Of course, I was so excited I couldn't stay seated, so I was jumping up and bouncing between the two tables, and eventually Irene pulled me aside, and I thought I was going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
She seemed a little nervous. But at that point, somebody had told her that I had a collection, and she invited me to exhibit quilts at the museum. So that's how it came to be.
Wow. Wow. What did it feel like when you saw them all in the room together?
It was amazing. It's a culminating experience. And actually, only half of the New York beauties that I have are up in the exhibit. There are about 21 or so, and I have double that amount. My first exhibit, I've never seen so many of them in one space, and the folks at the Benton County Museum have been absolutely wonderful. Mark Tolan and their curator has done a great job working with me, and I also worked a little bit with Mary Gallagher and Liz Hoffman and Irene Zenev, who's the director there at the museum. It's just been a wonderful experience.
Now tell people where, you know, like what state that is in, you know, the
it
what
is
city.
In, sure, it's in Philomath, Oregon, which is not far from Corvallis, and Corvallis is the home of Oregon State University, the Beavers, and it's about less than 2 hours south of Portland, Oregon.
Okay, cool. And how long will that be going on?
It will be going on until October 1st, and it's part of a countywide event called Quilt County, and there are venues all over the county that are going to be displaying quilts. They do it every other year, and apparently this is the first time they've shown a private collection at the Benton County Museum. Usually they have a juried show. So I'm doubly honored to be part of this.
Wow. It's so exciting. And do you actually own some newer quilts? There's two newer quilts on your blog that are in the exhibit, you know, more currently made quilts. Are they in your
yes.
possession too?
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. I realized along the way that I kind of denied the world the opportunity to study the New York Beauty quilts because every one I've seen over the last 22 years I've bought pretty much. I do have a couple new ones, and I'm starting to branch out a little bit into Flower Power 1970s, 60s. And even newer quilts from the art quilt movement and beyond. So, yes, in the last couple of years, my horizons have really broadened.
Cool. This is very cool. Well, tell me, you just real quick, because we only have a little bit left, you have an appearance coming up on a TV show, right?
I do. There's a wonderful 9-part series that's going to be appearing on PBS stations around the country called Why Quilts Matter. It's a Shelley Ziegart project. And I'm not going to be on there personally, but two of my quilts are going to be in there.
Okay.
So I'm excited about that. I also contributed to the project financially. And lots of other things going on. I'm doing the Northwest Quilting Expo. I have an exhibit of 20 quilts up there in September. Then there's lectures and appraisals and consultations. Ooh. I'm doing quilt photography. I'm buying and selling quilts. I'm going to be starting a quilt website for selling antique and vintage quilts. Two more other things that I'm doing, Oregon Quilt Project. We're documenting quilts in Oregon. Mary Bywater Cross is one of the people I'm working with, and I'm also on the board over at Latimer Quilt and Textile Center in Tillamook. So lots going on.
Wow, Bill. Wow. I'm going to be following you. This has been just awesome to have you on the show.
Oh, it's been great to be here. Thanks again for inviting me.
Thank you. Everybody go visit Bill Vokening at Willy Wonky Quilts.blogspot.com, and soon he will have more things out there for you to look at. So come back. We're going to take a little break, and we're going to meet some more quilting sisters.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to Facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com. Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Well, Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. That was so fun talking to Bill about New York Beauty Quilts. So now I have on here quilting sisters. You know, there are a lot of sisters who quilt. We've had a bunch of them on the show lately. I have got Bonnie Sullivan and Kathy Schmitz on the show, and they are super designers. You know their patterns, their books, their fabric lines. They're both contributors to American Patchwork and Quilting's family of magazines. And what the fun thing is that these gals have two separate careers. Unlike a lot of sisters who work together in the same company, they have their own separate design companies. So, hi, Kathy and Bonnie.
Hi, Pat.
Hello, Pat.
Hey, and I can actually tell your voices apart. I'm
wow.
So excited. I know. Watch, I probably have it wrong, but.
Okay, we'll test you later.
Yeah, we're going to have a test at the end. Okay, so let me first ask you, I want to know how you both got into quilting. Did it happen at the same time? Did one of you start and the other one, you know, it was like a competition, you know, because you're sisters and everything. So, you know, maybe Bonnie, why don't you go first?
Well, actually, I think we grew up in a quilting family. My grandmother quilted. Mom taught us sewing and 4-H. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of always had this addiction to textiles. I don't think Kathy quite as much, but
I like paper.
Yeah, she likes paper.
Oh, Kathy, Kathy is a painter too.
She is a very good painter.
So, Bonnie, you quilted first?
Yeah, I think so. I even made Kathy a quilt when she was younger.
We had one
big old chicken, and it wasn't very pretty. Just done a little bit a long time ago and then didn't seriously get into it until probably about 2001, 2002. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that's when I came to my first quilt market actually with Kathy. Mm-hmm. And started off with Penny Rugs, but then connected with Maywood Studio and started designing fabric for them and really needed to get into the quilting. So
Once you have fabric, they want you to do something with it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
So Kathy, tell me, now you come from, I knew your work way back, followed it with your graphics and your cards. Didn't you do cards and things like that because you're a painter?
Yeah, I started off at that first quilt market. I took a line of greeting cards that all had like a quilt-related theme to them. So there was a quilt on a fence or something like that. And I took my samples of paintings with me to that market and met with Moda, and that's how I got connected with them.
Ah, and then, you know, you had the same issue Bonnie did. You know, once you start having fabric, you have to make something out of it.
Well, yeah, although...
You would think, wouldn't you, Pat?
You would think that. that would make sense. As much as Bonnie loves to sit at a sewing machine, it causes me great stress. So, luckily, I have friends that design and sew, and my mom has always been there. So, when I catch myself in a bind, she's very willing to step in and correct my mistakes.
But I did just see two quilt blocks that she did today, and
I am learning.
They are phenomenal.
I am learning. It's very important to take that quarter-inch seam and to cut precisely. I'm just not that type A personality that sometimes you need to be a good quilter.
Well, yeah, the precision thing, you know, comes into play sometimes.
It does. Yeah.
It's really annoying, but, you know, some of us have to, you know, buck up occasionally.
I just like to eyeball things, and it doesn't work too well with piecing.
No.
So now, Kathy, are you still doing cards and that part of your business, or are you mostly now in the quilt world?
I'm mostly in the quilt world. I do a lot of embroidery patterns, and Bonnie and I both just started doing cross-stitch patterns, too. So we've crossed over into that industry. And then I do have some paper products left. I have gift certificates and things that are more geared towards the quilt shops, clip art, that type of thing.
Yeah. I think I actually even saw your work at like a folk art trade show, you know, where all these finished goods were being sold because I went with a quilt shop one time to buy finished goods years ago in Philadelphia area. I think one of those shows was.
Oh, it could be like a licensing show.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, some of the artwork outside of the quilting industry, then I do have some artwork that's been licensed to like companies that do the flags they hang outside or different things like that.
Neat, neat, neat. Now, I'm curious, you know, since you're sisters and you're both designing, you know, and like I mentioned, a lot of sisters actually work in the same company together. How did you ever decide, like, on purpose to work separately, or that just sort of is the way you both went? Did you ever think about working in the same company?
I think it took us a long time. That first quilt market, she had her paper goods and I had penny rags, but we both have a really similar style. But we'd never really worked together on anything, so I think there was that little trepidation of how that might turn out. So it took us a few years, and I think our first project together was a quilt or a wall hanging for American Patchwork and Quilting called Double Vision. And we found out when we did that
that was quite fun.
It worked out okay.
We didn't argue. It was a great collaboration because it seemed like if I drew something, then she drew something that went with it, and then that sparked something in me, and it just all fit together quite nicely.
And that actually, the pattern, not your version of it, but one of the interpretation versions is on allpeoplequilt.com. So you can just type in Double Vision and come up. Now, can you describe the quilt?
Well, it has a pieced border. How would you describe it, Kathy? Just some pretty much squares, framed squares with little points.
I just remember I appliqued about 75 leaves.
Yeah.
It has.
Were there that many?
There's a lot of leaves that go all the way around the outside of it.
Oh, okay.
It's symmetrical, and it's like a square and a square.
Right.
And it's the colors that I chose for it were very stark black, red, green. Mm-hmm. And then Bonnie did a pastel version of it that turned out really pretty, too. Very different looks.
I think we both tried to use the fabric that we had out at the time, and I had some pastel woolies out. Mm. And you used your fabric, too, I think.
Yeah, I did.
So it was kind of fun to play with what we each had at the time.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you actually, you know, sparked your ideas back and forth and ended up working then on the same quilt. That sounds like
it worked really well. Yeah.
And so that you haven't done it since? One time.
Well, we did
actually.
Finish. Yeah.
Now that you mention it, Pat.
We took our first trip together last September. We were fortunate enough to go to France and spend about 3 weeks just traveling wherever we wanted to go and being incredibly inspired by everything from tile floors to spires on top of buildings and came back and we designed over 16 projects that we just put into a book called French Inspirations for Artful Hands.
I'm so excited.
We're hoping to we will be introducing that at the All Quilt Market.
Yep.
And there's little snippets of the projects on Kathy's blog site, too. So,
yeah, if you want to see pictures of some of the projects. And it was kind of fun to do it because one of us would come up with a project, say slippers, wool slippers, and I would do it in my style with my colors and my techniques, and then Bonnie would do the same pattern but in her colors and her techniques. Mm-hmm. So not only do you get 16 different patterns, but several of them you get finished two different completely different ways. So, and everything from piecing, applique, wool, embroidery, a little cross stitch, and we even have some fun paper ideas in there, paper craft.
Yeah. Now, what did was there an event there that you went to France for, or did you just decide to go on vacation?
Well, the reason we went in September. You tell them, Bonnie.
We wanted to be inspired, but there was also the first weekend in every September every year is the Europe's largest flea market in Lille, France. So we just had to schedule it around that. So we
aren't you smart girls?
It worked out great. Yeah, we had a really good time and just found all sorts of things there that really, really did inspire us. We didn't know for sure how it would work out, but...
Mm-hmm. Did you take lots of photos? Do you guys sketch? What is your personal way of absorbing? I mean, that must have just been so much fun.
It was. We did both, and in fact, one of the projects is a journal cover, and then I did a lot of sketching. I thought I'd do more, but I did some sketching of the trip. But then we also took a lot of photos, and those many of those are in the book too. So if a project was inspired by something we saw, we actually took a photo and put it in the book too, so you can see where that inspiration came from.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's a little bit of our journal history in there, too, for the trip.
Sort of how, you know, what you were doing, what you were thinking.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. And how many projects are in this book that you said?
There's at least 16, aren't there?
Yeah.
At least,
uh-huh.
Yeah. And a lot of them a couple different ways, so.
Yeah. Did you move around when you were there? I mean, did you just stay in one place, or did you go to different towns? Because in 3 weeks, you got to really absorb things.
We did, and we Lille was one of our first stops. But the very first thing we did was take a train up to Bruges, Belgium, where we were met by a shop owner that we had met at market.
Yeah.
She and her dad showed us all around Bruges, which was absolutely gorgeous.
I used to live in Belgium.
Pardon?
I used to live in Belgium.
No, you didn't. Did you really?
Yes. I lived in Brussels.
Oh my gosh. Great chocolate.
Wow. Yeah, oh my gosh, the chocolate was good.
Yes.
And then we went to Lille for the flea market, and we did travel around. We stopped in Nantes and saw Carol at Quiltmania because I was working on a project for her. And then we spent a good week or so down in the Dordogne region and went to Sarlat and went to a lot of different little food markets wherever we could find. Kind of did a lot of small cities, and we ended up in Paris. But
Paris, so exciting.
I'm gonna have to hear about your Belgium days sometime.
Yeah, I was a teenager. I lived in there for 4 years as a
God.
Yeah. I was 4 years in Germany too, so
Oh my goodness.
I spent a lot of my teen years there. So, but Paris is absolutely gorgeous. Did you put an Eiffel Tower in your book?
Oh, it is. Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So what we're going to do, girls, is we're going to take a little break here in a second. And when we come back, I want to talk about, you know, sort of like your fabric designing, how you both go about, you know, approaching that, since you know, both designing fabric, and I want to talk about one of your other projects on the site on allpeoplequilt.com. So we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter, for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
We're back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and I'm here chatting with Bonnie Sullivan and Kathy Schmidt. So, girls, you are both like fabulous designers.
You're just like
so fabulous. So, I want to know first. Let's say, Bonnie, tell me what is your process for designing fabric? You know, because I'm always really curious because everybody's process is so unique to them and, and different. So, what do you do to get going on a new fabric line?
Well, I have a few different things. One of the fabric lines that I have out there right now that's been around for a while is Woolies, and I that pretty much is just taken from actual wool. I started working with the wool before I came into the quilt market, so I really wanted to translate that into fabric, and that just requires, you know, working from wool swatches. So that's a totally different way. And then also other things, I just tend to draw things out. I love looking through old books to be inspired, old children's books, old folk arty things, anything like that. I did a line of fabric, a few different lines that had what was kind of like a paper cutting technique, so I worked out the design on graph paper for that.
Neat.
And, just doodling and drawing.
And some of your fabric lines, you've been very clever with some of the things you've done because of the way that you've used it then in a quilt. So are you sometimes planning that use of the fabric before you actually start designing?
Yeah, I do think about that too. There's been some fabric I've had that, when I'll specifically ask for a certain size, if the motif is a certain size, it'll fit into a 6-inch square or... So, yeah, I do have all that in mind when I'm designing as well.
That's cool. So, Kathy, what is your process? Is it totally different?
There's a lot of similarities. I like looking through old books, too, old children's books especially. I love old illustrations. And then I also like to look through or read old poems and quotes. And sometimes those spark an image. Mm-hmm. And then I just sit and doodle, too, like Bonnie. Mm-hmm. And I have a sketchbook that I like to take with me if I know I'm going to be away from home for a little while so I can doodle in it. And
Is it real organized? Or is your sketch?
No.
No?
There's no organization at all whatsoever.
But do you have like pieces of napkin stuck in there?
No, it's all in one, one spiral bound notebook. But then when it is time to design something, I can just sit and look through that. And, you know, surprisingly, you kind of forget what you've doodled after a while. And you know, you can see a little part of one thing and it will make you think of, oh, I could use that in this. And then pretty soon you come up with an idea. Generally, though, there needs to be a theme, at least with Bonnie,
with both,
too. So whether it's a holiday or, you know, the non-seasonal is tough, trying to come up with a theme of something. I think that's probably the hardest part for me. Once I figured out what the theme is going to be, then the rest starts just rolling.
Yeah. And I'm impressed with Kathy's doodle, too. She doodles and pen. I cannot do that. I use a pencil because that eraser is important to me. So. We have different techniques in that
way. So we're going to see the pencil rubbings on the sides of Bonnie's hands.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
See, maybe now, I doodle and pen because I'm left-handed. And when you're left-handed and you use a pencil, then you really get all that.
Oh,
that graphite on your pen, on your hand. That's
now,
what I'll blame it on.
Kathy,
anyway.
You also have a fascinating chalkboard series that you're sharing on your blog where you have chalkboard in your doors and you are designing and taking pictures and erasing and putting it up. How did you come up with that?
Well, we moved into this house in Portland a couple years ago and there was a lot of empty wall space. And I had seen an old frame that somebody had put a chalkboard in. I thought, what a fun idea. And that way you could kind of change the artwork whenever you felt like it. And initially I was thinking of doing a whole wall of different ones, but it's still just one chalkboard. Mm-hmm. And but then when I moved my studio upstairs and it has this walk-in closet that has double doors and the two big inset panels on the doors, I thought would be perfect for a chalkboard. So even though it was a little frightening painting that stuff on these beautiful old wooden doors, I did it anyway.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at them right now, and they're darling.
I know, and she shares them, and then you erase them. It's like,
yeah, I know. Better take a picture of everyone.
I know. They're on Kathy's blog, with this Kathy Schmidt, S-C-H-M-I-T-Z, studio.blogspot.com. Yeah. So now, Bonnie, how do you store your fabric? And do you buy fabric still, you know? I'm just curious.
I can answer that one.
I stores it at my mom's house.
Oh, jeez. Sorry. Well, a lot of fabric is at my mother's house. And I do actually,
Does she live close? I hope she lives close.
Oh, no, we live very close, maybe within a couple miles.
Okay,
and I actually do a lot of sewing there.
Mom is the storage unit.
Yeah, mom is my store. Actually, mom's old shop has turned into our shipping area for Kathy and I, and our niece does our shipping for us. So mom played a big role in all this. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is. It turned out really well.
She can't get rid of us.
She probably doesn't want to.
I think she's very happy that quilting is big in her life, and she belongs to several quilt groups and a quilt guild. So I think she's just tickled that she has two daughters doing
this. She's quite an accomplished quilter and appliqueer herself. Mm-hmm. She's won many awards and is quite somebody to look up to.
What is your mom's name?
Marjorie McCants.
Hey, Mom. I'm sure you're probably listening.
There we go. Now, so Kathy, do you store your fabric too at Mom's? Or
she lives too far away.
No, yeah, I don't. I have it in my walk-in closet, and it's all folded pretty, so I can look at it. And I look at it more than I sew with it. But
I was going to say, I bet Bonnie's collection's bigger than yours.
Just a little bit.
But I use it. I sew it all up.
So you both will buy other fabric occasionally? You don't just have to own your own?
Well, you know, occasionally. And for this book that we just finished together, we knew that neither one of us would have a fabric line that would be out at the same time. And so we just kind of showed pictures from our trip of what inspired the color choices we made. And then we just went and bought a variety of colors from a variety of different companies, actually. So it's just whatever. We were hoping that people could get the same idea. You know, this is the palette I want to work with, and go find whatever works for them. So, yeah, occasionally, I think we're both kept so busy with the fabric that we do design that we don't have a lot of time to buy a lot of different things. But for this book, we did. Yeah,
and I find that a lot of designers, particularly ones that have fabric coming out every market, you know, it's twice a year. I mean, you have a lot that you're working with. And if you have a basics, you have that also. So
yeah.
So because your palettes are very warm and toasty, do you ever buy lime green or fuchsia fabric?
Do you own anything like that? Well, I have a drawer in my studio that's just for my nieces who live around the corner. And so that was really fun, going to the store and picking out some brighter pinks and oranges and lime greens. And so that's kind of their drawer. But that's, that color palette doesn't really fit in my home. But for them, they love it. So I get to buy it for them.
Ah, see, very good. Very good. Now, let's talk about another pattern that you've done for American Patchwork and Quilting. Bonnie, you did a quilt called Get Comfortable, and I just love the prairie points.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that was a fun one. It was a while ago, but it just used up a lot of the woolies, and I just thought the prairie points around the edges were a fun way to go. And it reminded me a little bit of the penny rugs because it has that big red dot in the middle of all the squares.
Yeah, you can find that. You can just do Get Comfortable. I think you can find it on the website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, with the prairie points, are those hard? You know, I've never done them. Isn't that weird? I just never have.
No, there's a couple different techniques on that one. I just use the way they've been done for a long time, but just just a square that's folded twice diagonally, and then so you sew across the raw edges so they don't show anymore. There is a technique where you can do strips of just one long strip and cut it a certain way and fold it. And that's really fun to do, too.
I saw a demo of that because there's some rulers out that help you with that.
Yes. And that's a fun way. This one, it was so large, the points were, that I didn't do it that way. And I wanted to space them just the way I needed to. So, yeah, it was a fun one.
Now I have a question. Mm-hmm. Another, yes, I have to get all these questions out. Mm-hmm. Like everything about you. you know, do you have a quilt? Well, we'll ask Kathy first, you know, because she's like this big quilter and everything.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah.
So, Kathy, do you have like a quilt or a stitchery or a cross stitch, you know, whatever medium? Do you have like something that's on your list that you want to make as, you know, as a person who stitches?
Actually, I do. My goal has, at some point in my life, I would love to make a big, crazy quilt with tons mm-hmm. of embroidery on it and embellishments. Mm-hmm. With silk ribbons, and mm-hmm. that's kind of on my to-do list at some point.
Well, that makes sense for you then, because of you like so much embroidery and that sort of handwork part of it.
Well, and it seems like something that you can kind of add on to. I guess I just need to start it.
Yeah.
And then just continually add on to it.
Yeah, because I think you could have special things from different years.
You could do different events in it, too. So it kind of be like a story of your life.
Mm-hmm. Put France on there. You were just there.
You better get started, girl. You're halfway through.
There you go. I'm halfway through my life.
Sorry.
So Bonnie, do you also have one?
Well, I just finished last year or so a big wool quilt for mm-hmm. Quilt Mania, and just the entire thing in wool, and really, really enjoyed it. So I would like to do some more along that line, too.
Just a big full quilt of all wool versus all wool. Like the penny rugs and stuff.
Yeah. All wool applique. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, wool applique. Oh my gosh. Well, you know, I know that you girls are going to have new stuff for the fall. And, you mm-hmm. know, is it all ready?
Ha ha. Ha ha. Well, we finished the book.
You did. I think that's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah. That was a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to thank you so much for being on the show. You have been just amazing.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
No. I want to give your websites again so people can find you. Bonnie Sullivan is allthroughthenight.net, N-E-T, mm-hmm. and Kathy is kathyschmitz.com, and then her blog is kathyschmitzstudio.blogspot.com. So thank you so much, girls. You have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Pat. We'll talk to you
soon. We'll be back right after this little break with Jill Mead, one of the editors at American Patchwork and Quilting.
Free stuff. Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Hi, I'm Pat Sloan, and I'm back for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. So, aren't Bonnie and Kathy just the cutest? Really, really, they're so cute. You have to meet them in person someday. They are so much fun. Of course, their work is amazing. So now, I'm so excited. Jill Mead, the editor of Quilts and More, is here, and we are going to talk about many, many things for the end of the show. So, hi, Jill. How are you?
I'm great, Pat. How are you today?
Oh, I'm excited. You know, I had really a very busy week this past week. Do you know that?
I hear that you did.
I did. I had my first earthquake experience on Tuesday.
And as a Californian who's used to them, what was your first impression?
Well, you know, we just thought it was a big truck, you know, because we were outside. I wasn't inside. People inside had much different experience. But those of us sitting outside, it felt like a very large truck, but it was really loud, and we didn't see any truck, so it was very confusing.
They're kind of amazing, aren't they?
Yes. And then I had a hurricane on Saturday, so, you know.
You know, that's kind of hard to top.
Yeah, it was a little much, but, you know, we didn't get the big damage from either one. We were very lucky, but, you know. It was quite the week. I was glad when it was over.
I'll bet so. I hope you have a smoother week this week. No major events.
That's right. No major events. We're done with all of that. So we're going to talk about a few different things. One of them is the American Patchwork and Quilting's 1 million pillowcase challenge. You know, we have the little blurbs that come on the show about it, but I just thought it would be wonderful for you to, you know, tell me a bit more about this project and what people are doing and what people can do to participate.
Well, I have to tell you, as you know, Pat, you're a quilter, so you know quilters are the most caring, sharing people out there. Mm-hmm. They're all about sharing their talents, teaching others what they can do, teaching them to sew. And today at noon, I checked our counter, and we're at over 303,000 pillowcases that have been recorded.
Wow.
Now, we know there are a lot that aren't recorded, but I was doing the math on this, and I thought, you know, that accounts for over 341,000 yards of fabric.
Oh, my gosh.
Which translates to over nearly 23,000 bolts of fabric. And if you lined up those pillowcases end to end, you'd mm-hmm. stretch 200 miles.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And we just encourage people to keep making pillowcases. We're so excited that they are participating at this level. We have 1,234 shops who are involved and mm-hmm. countless individuals.
Now, the idea is for people to make a pillowcase and then donate it within their own community or to some other, you know, to some place that they want to donate.
Absolutely. Everybody mm-hmm. knows best where the needs are in their community, mm-hmm. and we mm-hmm. want all those pillowcases to do good right there.
Mm-hmm. And then so, you're facilitating the tracking of that at allpeoplequilt.com.
That's right. And once those pillowcases are made and donated, we encourage everyone to go on to allpeoplequilt.com. Mm-hmm. Click on the little 1 million pillowcase challenge box and enter those numbers on the website and watch those numbers continue to grow.
Yeah, we should do, you know, get that going, you know, get out there and remind people. That's what I wanted to do today, was be sure that, you know, they probably have made some and probably have forgotten to even come and click the numbers.
That's right. Every single one counts. We know of one young lady in Houston, Texas, who is going to be spending a month at the Shriners Hospital there, and she took 47 pillowcases along with her to share with the friends that she knew she'd be making while she was there.
Oh, my gosh. It just gives me goosebumps.
Isn't that neat? All the stories are just heartwarming about young girls who are learning to sew, making pillowcases at summer camp, and then sharing them in their communities.
Wow.
Friends who are getting together, there's one group of friends that we heard from that made 400 pillowcases. They're in Illinois. They want to make sure that every food basket that goes out this holiday season will have pillowcases for families in it.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Isn't that a great idea? Now, when the pillowcases that I make sure they go to children who are being removed from their homes for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. They have that pillowcase to take their belongings in.
And that pillowcase
will always be theirs.
Mm-hmm. Now, we also have on All People Quilt patterns, so there's free patterns on how to, you know, if nobody's made, somebody hasn't made a pillowcase before, you know, their basic ones, plus some really spiffy ones. If people
really,
wanna...
really fancy ones, and we add two new, every 3 months we add two new patterns to that.
Oh.
If you've never made a pillowcase before and you want to see a little film strip on how to do that, we've got that for you there too. And it demonstrates the roll them up method where... Some people call it the burrito method. We've heard all kinds of wonderful names. So that top seam where the band and mm-hmm. is joined to the body is all enclosed, and it's a really fun way to make a pillowcase.
The spiffy one I'm looking at here has like a braid, like a braided edge. It's really pretty.
Yes, it can be as fancy as you want. You don't have to use our patterns. You've got other ideas, make them that way.
Yeah, and you can load a photo, or do you have to email a photo in to have it loaded on that page?
Download a photo, and it's so fun for us to look through and see what kind of pillowcases people have been making.
Yay!
We've got 4-H'ers that are making them. If you're going to Quilt Festival this year, and I know you'll be there, Pat, come join the editors from American Patchwork and Quilting, and we have a booth, and we'll be sitting there helping you make pillowcases that will stay in Houston after festival.
Oh, hey, that's cool.
It is. We did it last year. We had so much fun. We're going to go back and do it again.
Well, neat. So we are on a quest here. Everybody needs to make a few pillowcases and get them out there on the list. So what other kind of challenges are going on? You know, I'm doing a challenge that was issued to me by one of our earlier guests a couple weeks ago, Judy Gula. She issued this challenge to a bunch of people, power suits.
Oh my gosh.
She'd gotten all these remnants, you know, like the little salesman remnants or salesman cards of like wools. Suiting and all this, and so she got tons of these. She and Cindy Souter acquired all of this, and then they made little packages for the challenge.
How fun.
Yeah, so I got like the suiting, and I got some light colored stuff like shirtings and a tie. So mine is getting ready to, you know, send to them, because the 30th of August is the deadline, and it's almost done.
Tomorrow? Or is that today?
Two more days. I have 2 more days. So
I find that's a great part of a challenge, the deadline, because I'm a deadline person. If I don't have a deadline, it might never get done.
I know. And this is only 18 by 18. And, of course, I got it in the spring. But when did I start?
Tell us.
Yeah, just a couple of weeks ago, maybe two weeks ago.
Of course. It's that deadline looming up.
That's right. So you are doing a challenge with Quilts and More, aren't you?
We are. This is the year of the polka dot. You've probably heard that Jennifer Keltner, mm-hmm. executive editor, and I declared it the year of the polka dot. And in the fall issue of Quilts and More, on the editor page, you'll see a photo of Jennifer and me with our polka dot quilts. And we invite readers to go online to vote for their favorite. And one of the two of us will be crowned queen of Queen of the Polka Dots.
Queen of the Polka Dots. Oh.
Well, the official name is Queen of Quite a Dot.
Oh.
So one of the two of us will be the winner. But we had such fun working with polka dots.
I just love them. They're not scary either. I mean, I think they're less scary to people than a stripe. Do you find that?
Oh, yes. You can't go wrong. And you can find them everywhere now.
Do you collect them?
In yardage.
You can make a shawl.
Yeah, we're hoping that our readers will create a pattern, take one of the Quilts and More patterns and do it in polka dots and download a photo and share with us what they're doing, too.
Aha. Uh-huh. Now, do you have on the site, now, how do they find that on the allpeoplequilt.com site, the polka dot thing? Do they go to your magazine?
Absolutely. They go to allpeoplequilt.com. /polka dot to post a photo online.
Okay. And that'll, then, you know, I think everybody should do that one too, because, you know, it's a good thing. Polka dots are a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Have you been collecting them, Jill? I mean, you know, some people collect stuff. I mean, do you have like a big collection of polka dot fabric?
Oh, yes, I do. It's huge. And I think I actually hide some on myself. You know, I'll open up a box and, oh, my gosh, there's more polka dots. I've forgotten I have them.
So speaking of buying fabric, now I know that you buy fabric, right?
Yes, I do.
Yes, and you visit a lot of places. And so when you go out to visit, I've seen you in quilt shops. You know, do you have like a mission when you go in? Do you know what you're going to buy, or is it just whatever?
I never know what I'm going to buy. Something just reaches out and grabs me and says, take me home.
Yep.
I don't have a clue. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I just know I need to have it for my stash.
I know. I've watched you girls shop. You know, I've seen all of you editors in a store. And I'm like thinking, they have got like their arms full. You have to believe me, everybody. They really do. I mean, there's like bolts on the table. You would think there were 15 people shopping when the editors are in there.
Yes, and you would think it'd be the last day to buy fabric.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jill, this has been so great to have you on to talk about the American Patchwork and Quilting's 100 Pillowcase Challenge.
Thank you, Pat. It's my pleasure as always, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Yes, I'll see you soon, and we'll talk then.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Everybody come back next week for more guests. This is your host, Pat Sloan, for American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques.